Representatives from Sudan's warring sides will hold direct talks in Saudi Arabia. That's according to Saudi officials. Delegates from the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces said they would only discuss a humanitarian truce and not an end to the conflict. Hundreds of people have been killed and thousands injured in the fighting that began 3 weeks ago. Let's go over now to Russell Serda in Jeddah. First of all, tell us who's at these talks and what exactly is the format that they're taking?
Well, for now, we know that there are seven representatives from both parties in total that are now in Jeddah. And since yesterday, the talks are still underway. They're continuing. And American and the Saudi officials are putting a tremendous pressure on the delegations to force them to agree on 3 points. The first one is to open up a humanitarian corridor for the capital, Khartoum, and its city. Second one is to provide the protection to the civilian facilities and including the hospitals. So the third one is a long-term aim to secure a truce and also to build a mechanism that's going to oversee the ceasefire and also reports those who violate the ceasefire. So these are what they want to achieve here today. The situation is quite fragile. However, the people who are familiar with the talks that are there telling us that there is a positivity around because of the compelling factors in and out of Sudan. First, there's a dire humanitarian situation in Sudan. And second, both warring parties are aware now that there will not be any winner. And if there will not be any quick win. And if the war linger on, both sides are going to lose. And for Saudi Arabia externally, so the security stability in the Red Sea is quite important because 70% of its energy is being exported to the world through Red Sea. And for Americans, when it comes Americans, they are very much involved in these talks in a close coordination with Saudi Arabia. And the security, the stability in the Horn of Africa is quite important for the U.S. as well. That's why all of these factors coming together, people say that okay. These factors are going to contribute to a kind of success in these talks.
Russell Serda joining us there from Jeddah. And again, apologies to our viewers for the poor quality of the sound in Russell's live. Now, on the ground in Sudan, there's been no let-up in the fighting, and Hippa Morgan has more from the capital, Khartoum.
Now, in parts of the capital, Khartoum, overnight, especially in the northern part of the capital, there were heavy artillery fires, heavy explosions to the point that some facilities were set on fire, and that's in the city of Bahri and Kafuri late on Saturday night. We were also able to hear heavy artillery around the vicinity of the presidential palace. That's one place that is under the control of the rapid support forces for the time being, but which the Sudanese army have been trying to regain control of from the very first day of the fighting. So despite the fact that, again, this is supposed to be a period of a ceasefire, and a ceasefire that the two sides agreed to from different mediations, the army agreed to mediation effort or a ceasefire proposal by the South Sudanese government, and the rapid support forces agreed to a ceasefire proposed by the Saudi Arabians and the United States. So two different sides trying to push for a ceasefire, both sides agreeing to different ceasefires, but on the ground, it's not actually manifesting itself.
Well, calls are growing for the international community to act fast to avert food crises in Sudan and neighbouring countries who are taking in refugees from the conflict. In South Sudan, thousands of people are arriving every day, as Harry Mutasa reports from the town of Renk.
People arriving from Sudan get two hot meals a day. Usually aid agencies give out food rations so families can cook for themselves. But this is just a transit centre in South Sudan. People cross the border with very few belongings. These meals help them survive until they get to their final destination.
I have three children and this food is not enough to feed them. We are grateful, but it's not enough.
Humanitarian agencies say around 6,000 people arrive every day in South Sudan, a country where thousands have already been displaced by insecurity and floods.
We have more than 7.76 million people who are facing food insecurity in the country. That's two-thirds of the population. And we are providing assistance to a lot of them, around 5.7 million. So we'll have to take some of these resources to respond to this crisis.
Most are women and children with no money, clothes or shelter.
This is what conditions are like for people living here. Aid agencies and the government don't want families to stay here for too long. They need to move on because there aren't enough resources to help everyone.
Towns on the border with Sudan have also been affected by the conflict. Prices of some staple foods have doubled because transport and trade have been disrupted.
All those goods, they come from Sudan, so all the roads have been blocked across it. So we have no way again to get the goods from Sudan.
South Sudan imports many items from its neighbor. There are fears there will be further price increases and shortages, not just here, but also in other countries in the region. Hadamutasa, Al Jazeera, Rink, South Sudan.